Plans are being laid to form a mammoth superorganization which might rival the labor unions in membership and influence. I'll be back in a moment with the amazing facts about growing giants and danger. Hello, this is Joe Cruz and the Amazing Facts broadcast, facts which affect you. You know, friends, the word ecumenical is now commonly on the lips of many church leaders around the world. The ecumenical movement that started in earnest way back in the early 1960s has been slowly plodding toward its goal of actual organic union of all churches. The great desire in the heart of Christians for centuries has been that of unity and that of joining together. So, we ask the question today, is the ecumenical movement fulfilling God's plans? Certainly, the Bible makes it clear that God desires His followers to be united. In fact, Jesus prayed to that end. In that great high priestly prayer recorded in the 17th chapter of John, verse 21, we find Him praying in these words, "...that they all may be one as Thou, Father, art in Me, and I in Thee, that they also may be one in Us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent Me." So, we find that the great longing in the heart of Christians has been that of unity. Now, the word ecumenical simply means worldwide or universal. And when used in connection with a church, it bespeaks an earnest desire for a worldwide, universal church. Since 1900, there have been scores of concerted actions on the part of church members and church leaders to bring about an amalgamation or a merger of all the major denominations. For over 20 years now, Protestants and Catholics have set aside 1 week each year to pray for Christian unity. In some years, the material used in both Catholic and Protestant churches has been identical. Many times, they've gotten together in a week of prayer for Christian unity, participating in joint prayer services and Bible study. When this annual week of prayer was initiated over 25 years ago, it was widely regarded as a rather far-fetched idea. Many felt it would be absolutely impossible for Catholics and Protestants to ever come close to one another in Christian fellowship or unity. We've made rapid strides in what is termed the ecumenical movement in the last 20 years, friends, but right now it seems to have slowed down just a little bit. And I would say that much of the impetus that came to it a few years ago for merging churches came from Dr. Eugene Carson Blake and his proposal made back in 1960. Now, he was speaking at Dean Pike's Episcopal Church in San Francisco, and at that time, Dr. Blake was a leader in the Presbyterian Church, and he suggested that the four major Protestant denominations merge to form one super Protestant church that would represent some 18 million church members. In fact, he called for a truly democratic church government with a hospitality that would reach out to a wide variety of theological thought and worship. Immediate responses came from the other denominations. Many of them called, in fact, and telegraphed and wrote saying, "Why leave us out?" And as a result, committees have been meeting through these intervening years, and organic union of some large denominations has already been achieved. Now, friends, such a consolidation of members and powers could rapidly sweep us into the age of power structure religion. Such mergers could finally concentrate into greater influence in the labor unions even of this country. Perhaps more than any other man, Pope John 23 popularized the term ecumenical. What did he have in mind? In one of his encyclical letters addressed not just to the church, not just to the faithful, but to the whole world, he made a clarion call appealing to the separated brethren, that is, all Protestants. And it was for the separated brethren to find their way back to the Mother Church. Now, this has been Rome's plan and desire. In Rome, Professor Gonnet said, "Rome is well pleased to see other Christians marching towards unity because, in her opinion, this will inevitably lead to a return to the fold under one sole shepherd, the Pope." But you know, friends, Jesus also has a plan for unity, and He prayed about it. I read it a moment ago, "...that they all may be one, as Thou, Father, art in Me, and I in Thee." Now, this was the great prayer. But how is God's plan of unity to come about, friends? Is God's plan to be fulfilled through church mergers? Is God's plan to be fulfilled through an amalgamation of all the denominations? Is that what the great God of heaven had in mind? God's Word has some very interesting things to say on this subject. In John 10:16, Jesus said, "And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring." All right, now there are many folds. Jesus has sheep in all of them. "Other sheep I have," he said, "which are not of this fold." I'll tell you, friend, it's a wonderful thing to realize that God has his people everywhere. In fact, he has his people in every organization, every church, every denomination, every religion even in the world. And Jesus said, "Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." Now listen, I propose for your thinking that when those words of Jesus are fulfilled, there will be real Christian unity. Do you agree with that, friends? One fold and one shepherd? That is real Christian unity. But how in the world is it ever going to come about? Let me read this text again, putting the emphasis where I think Jesus put it when he spoke. "Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring." Now listen, this unity is not something that man is going to work up. It isn't something man is going to accomplish. It is something Jesus is going to do. "Them also I must bring." How is he going to bring them? "They shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." Yes, Christian unity is going to come as a result of hearing the voice of Jesus and following in his footsteps. Now turn to 1 John 2:6, and notice what John says. "He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked." Jesus said, "Why call me Lord, and do not the things that I tell you?" You see, friends, you don't walk in the steps of Jesus unless you follow his word. And Jesus says, "You don't follow as I've set the way and marked out the path for you." Christian unity will come as a result of hearing the voice of Jesus and then walking in his footsteps. And friends, I maintain that when we're walking in the steps of Jesus, we're going to be walking in the same path. Doesn't that sound logical? If all of us are walking in the same steps of Jesus, we'll all be together. You think of it for a moment. Jesus marked out the way. He marked out the steps that I'm to walk. And he said, "I'm the way. Walk in my steps." Now, if you follow those steps and walk in those steps, will we not be walking on the same paths? Will we not be walking the same way? Now, I hear people say, "Well, you know, all the different churches are going to the same place. We're just on different roads leading there. We're all going up the same mountain." And yet, my friend, the churches are as different as day and night. If you study the fundamental beliefs of different churches, as I've done, you'll find they're very different. There's a tremendous variety. Man has decided that the only way to bring about unity is to agree on those points that they see eye to eye on, and where they disagree, just forget it. Just forget it, that's right. Get rid of those disagreements, and we'll join you. In fact, it has just about come down to the place where they're going to unite on just one fact. There is a God. You know, one of the latest moves is a plan for an ecumenical Bible. There are committees at work now to prepare a Bible that will be acceptable to Protestants, Catholics, Jews, Mohammedans, Hindus, Buddhists, even communists. An ecumenical Bible, it's called. One that will be accepted by everybody. You know, I've thought of how much twisting and turning they're going to have to do with this book to make it acceptable to such a wide divergence of thought as to be found in all these different philosophies. Jesus said that real unity is to be found in walking in his steps, walking in the path that Jesus marked out for our feet. Listen, friend, God is not in any movement that's based on compromise of principle, compromise of truth, or is an enormous man-made operation. The words of Jesus could be fulfilled so simply if we'd only do what Jesus asked us to do. He said, "My people hear my voice and they follow me." And when we listen to the voice of Jesus and follow in his steps, that path is going to lead us into the same identical way. Now somebody asked, "How may I know which is the true church?" Dr. Milner said this, "There is but one inquiry to make, namely, which is the true church? By solving this one question, you will answer every religious controversy that's ever been or ever can be agitated." Well, I guess he's right. It's easy to open a safe if you know the combination. So you can readily learn the truth when you locate the true church. Paul tells us in 1 Timothy 3:15 that the church of the living God is the pillar and the ground of the truth. Now you make a list of all the things that Jesus taught. Write them all down, then examine the facts. Look for the church that's keeping all the commandments of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Now, notice what I said, all the commandments, not just 9, but all 10. The way to find the true church of today is to look right back to the very beginning and find out what it was that Christ gave to the church in His Word, and then see if the church of the last days fits in with the church back there in its teaching. I think about the Broken Stone Mission in South America. Some years ago, when missionaries went into the high Andes Mountains, they found Indians there who had heard about the gospel. They loved what they heard because it told them about Jesus and His love. It told of His forgiveness of their sins. They noticed that people who accepted this message cleaned up their lives and were happy. And the tribe wanted the missionaries to send in some teachers that they too might know this wonderful message. The leaders sadly told them that it would be impossible because of the lack of means. And there were no teachers to send, and the money was lacking. And the Indians asked, "Well, how long will it be?" And they replied, "We can't foresee anything this side of 18 months. The Indians were disappointed that a teacher couldn't come immediately, but they were delighted also to think that they would plan on having somebody in the future. And then they began to think, and they said, "Now listen, when a teacher comes to our tribe, how will we know whether he's teaching the true message or not?" And the leader of the missionaries thought for a moment and then reached down and picked up a soft sandstone. Breaking it in two, he said, "You keep one half of this stone, I'll take the other half. When we send in the teacher, he'll bring this half of the stone. You put the stones together, and if they fit, you'll know that it's a teacher that we're sending." Well, 18 months later, true to their promise, the missionary teacher came. The Indians were a bit skeptical and wanted to be sure, so they asked him to produce the stone, which he did. The Indian chief took the stones and brought them together slowly. The irregular notches fit perfectly, and he knew the people of promise had at last come. And they called that mission station the Broken Stone Mission to this very day. Now, friends, in the very same way, God's Word is one half of the stone. And only the church whose teachings match every notch of the Bible truths can be the one fulfilling God's call for true unity. So, ecumenism is fine if it's based upon obedience to God and finding the truth as it really is in Jesus and making that the rule of life. Well, we're just about out of time today, friends, but if you would like to have today's message about ecumenism, why not write for it? It's free for the asking, and all you need do is write and ask for broadcast number 236. And now, this is Joe Cruz saying goodbye for today.